Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. Acts chapter 15. This time I can tell it's Acts. Acts chapter 15. Before we go to the relevant verses, let's start in verse 1 to see what the controversy is in Acts chapter 15. Because if you miss that, you miss the whole point. Verse 1 says, "And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren," that is up in Galatia. This is what Galatians is all about. "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses," not the law of Moses, by the customs, he means the man-made rules and regulations, "you cannot be saved." So the issue is, must you observe all the Pharisaic man-made rules and regulations to be saved? How many of you know the answer to that? No. If you have any question, read Mark chapter 7 and Matthew chapter 15. But in Acts 15, let's go to verses 28 and 29. "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you," if you go back earlier to the "you," it's you who are turning to God, you who are in the process of coming to God, "to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols." In Revelation 2, what did those who were taken with the doctrine of Balaam teaching? Eat things sacrificed to idols. This says, no, abstain from things offered to idols. From blood, that is from drinking the blood of the sacrifices. From things strangled, which is food killed in a non-kosher manner. And from sexual immorality. So two of the four that the Jerusalem Council said nobody can do while they're learning about God, because these things characterize pagan idolatry and its worship. You got to avoid those. But in Revelation chapter 2, that's what these people are teaching, is that it's okay. Doesn't matter anymore. Was Acts 15 before the crucifixion or after? Let's just make sure we know. After. And these things were still prohibited. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to believers who come out of the Gentile world. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 20 and 21. "Rather, that the things which the Gentiles," meaning pagans, "sacrificed, they sacrificed to demons and not to God." So Baal, Ishtar, etc. are man-made idols, but they have demons behind them. "And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons." It's one or the other. You can't mix them. You can't have both. But yet, that's what the minority were teaching in the church at Pergamos, was that, hey, it's okay. We can walk in pagan idolatry and God still has to take us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, our last verse on this point. Second Corinthians chapter 6. I've heard many people say, "Wayne, quit talking about unclean foods. Nothing's unclean to us anymore. There's not a single word in the New Testament about don't eat unclean foods." to which I say, let's go to 2 Corinthians 6. And usually they say, no, I ain't gonna. But starting in verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? In other words, you can't have some of each. For you are the temple of the living God. How's that possible? The Holy Spirit resides where? In you. That's right. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore means because this is true, because the Holy Spirit is going to dwell in your heart. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. This quote, do not touch what is unclean, is from the book of Isaiah, and it's the words for the clean and unclean foods of Leviticus chapter 11. Just to make sure we understand that, let's go to Isaiah 66 and see what the prophet said is going to happen to the people eating the ham sandwich when Messiah returns. What did the pagans sacrifice to their gods other than their children? Pigs. Yep, the black pigs of Gadara were the really special ones. Verse 14. When you see this, that is God comforting Jerusalem, your heart shall rejoice and your bones shall flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and his indignation, that's the za'am, that's the wrath of God being poured out to his enemies. Notice there's only two categories, his servants, those who serve him, and his enemies, those who don't. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword, the Lord will judge all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves to go to the gardens after an idol in the midst, that's pagan idolatry, eating swine's flesh. What's a swine? Pig. And the abomination in the mouth shall be consumed together, says the Lord. I'm not eating it. Okay, back to Revelation. Chapter 2, verse 14. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. Now, that doesn't happen today. There aren't any churches out there with lesbian and gay pastors teaching people that homosexuality is fine and dandy. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, there are. That's teaching them to commit sexual immorality. Verse 15, thus, what's thus mean? Therefore, because of this, in like manner, you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. The Nicolaitans go a little farther than the doctrine of Balaam to say there isn't any sin. Messiah's death, burial, and resurrection took sin away. So now whatever you do is okay to God. In fact, if you think back to the Council of Laodicea, to Canon 29, when the Catholic Church said, you're forbidden to keep the Sabbath. And if you do, you're anathema, which means you cannot be saved. What they're saying is, if you don't break God's commandments, you cannot be saved. The only way to be saved is by breaking God's commandments. How does that fit with everything else God had to say? It doesn't, does it? So how does the Lord feel about the doctrine of the Nicolaitans? He hates it. So, The Lord doesn't just drop a bomb on the church. He says what? Verse 16, repent. What is repent? To turn away from sin, turn back to God. What did Paul say in Acts chapter 20? What did Paul say in Acts chapter 20? Verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves. What's that mean, to take heed to yourselves? Be very careful, be very watchful. And to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So he's talking to the pastors, the elders, the leaders. You're responsible, you're in charge. To shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, and after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. When John writes these seven letters in Revelation, it's only 35 years, somewhere in there, since the death of the Apostle Paul. And already you've got people spreading the doctrine of Balaam, spreading the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which the Lord hates. It doesn't take long for the seeds to come in and get planted. So verse 16 in Revelation 2, the Lord says, repent or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Them who? Those who hold the doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. That's what we read about in Isaiah chapter 66. Those who are doing these things, spreading these things, teaching these things, he's going to fight against them. What did he say in Matthew chapter 5? Matthew chapter 5. Verse 18 says, for assuredly, you're not there yet. Let me give you a minute. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot, which is the smallest Hebrew letter, or one tittle, which is a tiny piece of a letter, will by no means pass from the law, the Torah, till all is fulfilled. Whoever, therefore means because not a single letter or piece of a letter will be taken from the Torah till heaven and earth pass away. Whoever, therefore, breaks one of the least of these commandments, these refers back to the Torah, and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. How do we know the Lord spoke those words?
They're red.
And in verse 2, we have the word saying, which indicates it's all a quote. But the commentators will say, but that could only have been true for another year or two, and then it becomes a lie. Really? What did Matthew 24:35 tell us? Just a second. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry. I just need that scripture just before this one. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It was Matthew chapter 5, verses 18 and 19.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So when the Lord says in verse 19 of Matthew 5, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Cannot be temporary words when he himself says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away.
So that indicates that they're really going to make it to heaven after all, even though they've broken all these commandments.
I don't know if it means that or not. Look at Revelation chapter 22. I hope it means that. But one of the least of these commandments is not the same as all of them either. But in Revelation 22, verse 14, it says, "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters, whoever loves and practices a lie." So they are in the lake of fire, but they're just described here as being outside the city. So are they still in the kingdom? It all depends. What is the kingdom? If the kingdom is heaven and earth and everything in between. So there is that unresolved issue and question. But is there an Old Testament underpinning to Matthew 5:19? Or is this new with the Lord?
Wayne?
Yes, Mike?
Did you say that breaking one of the commandments is not the same as breaking all of them?
As far as this verse says. This verse says, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so. And I know what you say. In the book of James, it says, he who breaks one is guilty of all. And by that, James means the wages of sin is death. So you break one, the penalty is death. You break 100, the penalty is death. You're going to die anyway. But still a good point, Mike. Yeah. So where is the Old Testament underpinning to this? Or is this new? Did somebody say Daniel chapter 12? I think I heard it somewhere. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. What's the opposite of righteousness? Lawlessness. So those who turn many to understanding and following the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God are going to shine like the stars forever and ever. Back to Revelation, please. Chapter 2. Verse 17 doesn't say, this is only for them, so don't you worry about it. It says, he who has an ear, which are all of us, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, again, reference back to 1 John chapter 5, the overcomer is an overcomer by faith, and that faith leads to obedience. Because of the love of God. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. What does he mean by the hidden manna? Where is that manna hidden according to the book of Hebrews? In the Ark of the Covenant. Mm-hmm. That's going to be in the rebuilt temple. And I will give him a white stone. Who wants a white stone? There's plenty of them out in the parking lot.
I want one.
Yeah, me too. When you were judged in the court back in those days, the judge indicated innocence or guilt by a white stone or a black stone. So the white stone means not guilty. And on the stone, a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Please don't send me emails this week to say, what is the name on the stone? We will find out. That's all he has to say to the Church of Pergamos. He reiterates that the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which is lawlessness, he doesn't just distaste a little, it says he hates. And just shy of that is the doctrine of Balaam, which is pagan idolatry and sexual immorality. Verse 18. Oh, wait a minute. I got more to say about verse 17. We talked about 1 John chapter 5, verse 5, he overcomes. But let's look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews doesn't just talk about the hidden manna. It also talks about the stone. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 tells us about the manna. So let's start in verse 1. Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service in the earthly sanctuary. We all know that. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part, that is in the holy place, not the holy of holies, in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. That's the holy place, is called the sanctuary. And behind the veil, the part of the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, it's actually the Holy of Holies, Kodesh HaKodeshim in Hebrew, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Why not? At this point, the Ark of the Covenant's missing. Mm-hmm. Isaiah chapter 62. While you're turning there, I heard something interesting today. Rabbi Yehuda Glick is a member of the Knesset. And according to reports I heard this morning, he has written a letter to the Vatican demanding that they return the original articles that Rome took from the temple. And said if they do not, he's going to go to the international court and file suit to try and force them to return the articles. I thought that was interesting. Isaiah 62. What's that?
Wayne.
Yes?
Going back a minute to that bit, behold, I'm coming quickly. My reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work.
Right.
I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, first and last. Blessed are those who do his commandments. This is at the end of the Revelation. My understanding is that it's back in the present day. He's finishing off and he's saying that blessed are those who do his commandments, that they have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates of the city. He's not talking from the city at that point. He's talking, having shown him this, they will be able to make, but those who are outside, you were saying, are they in the lake of fire or are they not? No, this is the people that are living now who practice these things, who will ultimately, they'll go to the lake of fire. But at this point, he's back in the present with John, saying those that obey the commandments have a right to enter the city, which is to come. But the sorcerers and the liars that are outside of the congregation of the people, outside of salvation. So I don't think there's a confusion about how can they be outside the city, aren't they, in the lake of fire? I think he's back in the present day with John. Does that make sense?
Yes, I agree with you. I didn't realize we said something different from that.
All right.
Maybe I just didn't say it as eloquently.
What did he say?
He said, go to Isaiah 66. No, it's Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62. He said that when we come to Revelation chapter 22, they're back in the present tense, and Messiah is speaking about things that will happen in the future. And I agree with that 100%. So at the time Messiah says it, people aren't in the lake of fire and in the kingdom. He's talking about ultimate destinations based upon their characters and actions now. Isaiah 62, verses 1 and 2. You may have heard this in a Marty Goetz song. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. Those are two parallel sentences. Until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation is a lamp that burns. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. That new name will be on this white stone, according to Revelation chapter 2. So just an Old Testament confirmation. Back to Revelation 2, verse 18. The next church is the church at Thyatira. And if you pronounce the names differently, good on you. I wasn't there when he wrote the letter. And to the angel or the pastor of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God. Son of God. I'm going to turn into the Greek and just look at that in the Greek for a moment. Revelation 2, verse 18. Okay. Does it literally say the Son of God? Yes, it literally says the Son of God. For some reason, I put on my note, notice it says Son of God, not Son of Mary. I guess because there's so much Catholic doctrine that emphasizes that Mary is the Mother of God, the Queen of Heaven. And you realize terms like the Queen of Heaven didn't start in Christianity, right? We find that back in what? Jeremiah? Let's go back to Jeremiah and see. Jeremiah, let's see. Talks about they were making cakes for the Queen of Heaven. Is it around chapter 14? Chapter 7, all the way back in 7. Okay, thank you. That's why 17 came to mind, because it got a 7 in it. Chapter 7, verse what, Rachel?
18.
Verse 18. Yep, thank you. Verse 18, the children gather wood, the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead dough to make cakes for the Queen of Heaven. Who did they mean by the Queen of Heaven? Ishtar. Mm-hmm. So they've taken the titles of the false deity Ishtar and assigned those to Mary. Let's not do that. Okay, back to Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. These things says the Son of God. What does it mean to be the Son of God? It means that when Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, Yeshua literally has God as his Father. He did not have a human father. It says, who has eyes like a flame of fire. What does fire indicate in prophecy? Judgment. That is, his look, his glance is discerning and can tell. Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online, or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.